Computer Talk with Dave Mason. High-tech talk radio will never be the same.
So, we're talking about the altitude of satellites. Many different types of satellites.
So how wrong was I?
Many different altitudes. Well, let's just start...
Well, I knew there were different altitudes, but...
Let's start at the closest. You estimated 23 miles, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And that sounded reasonable to me. The closest, and this is not the norm, is 80 miles.
Really?
Yes.
That far?
Yes. Most satellites... Well... Let's talk about the farthest. So the closest is 80, okay?
Wow, that is much further than I thought.
Okay. The farthest, well, let me just go through.
Go ahead and read the list.
So we got asynchronous orbits, which means not in sync with the orbit of the Earth.
They're flying around us. Around the Earth,
Anywhere from 80 to 1,200 miles.
1,200 miles.
These are observation satellites. Typically... They're 300 to 600 miles high. Okay?
Whoa.
Now, they're often used for photography, mapping, geographical analysis, you know, like the addition, like this year, you know, 40% increase in Antarctic ice is mapped.
Right.
By this type of satellite.
Sure, yeah.
Okay? Then you've got... And those are called low Earth orbit, LEOs.
Interesting.
Then you've got asynchronous orbit satellites that are science satellites that also do research data, sometimes photographic, but they track wildlife and astronomy stuff, physics, Earth sciences like volcanoes, analyzing, tracking volcano activity, generally in the range of 3,000 to 6,000 miles.
Okay.
Then you get the asynchronous orbit stuff for navigation. This is GPS stuff. This is from 6,000 to 12,000 miles high.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is high.
Incredible, isn't it?
I didn't realize it was quite that high up. Interesting.
Okay. Then you get those that are the geostationary, that are the synchronous orbit.
Yeah, like stuff like DirecTV and that kind
They're
of thing.
They're over America, this region of America. They serve this area, you know. 22,223 miles.
What the heck? That's what I meant. I meant 2,300 miles, not
23,000 miles.
23,000 miles. I'm sorry. I mean 23,000.
If you're going to get, if you're going to lie miles? About your error.
23,000 miles?
Isn't that incredible?
So DirecTV's satellites are 23,000 miles.
Nearly. 22,223.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
What's the, what is the, diameter of the Earth?
8,000.
Is it?
Yeah. Not the circumference.
No. That's the thickness of the Earth.
8,000.
Is 8,000. Which is...
So that's three Earths.
Yeah, that's pretty far out there.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, never mind then.
Forget what I just said. A little off.
So forget what I just said. Yeah, that's ridiculous. We're never going to do that.
Yeah.
Until we can figure out something to get past the speed of light thing.
866-821-8255 is the number, 866-821-TALK. And this goes back to what we were talking about, how the lag can be such an issue.
Yeah. Now I can see the lag. A 20-mile lag, not a big deal.
Right.
But
22,000 miles?
22,000, yeah, that's going to give you some lag.
Yeah. So, you know, it isn't that you don't use this technology. It's just that there are almost always... better technologies to use. I mean, it was one of the things that we did, you know, when we were doing the conventional network radio thing from our studio in Tucson to the ABC studios in New York City, we used an ISDN. You know, which is silly slow now, but there was no lag, none. It was, you know, a couple of milliseconds.
And the equipment, you know, I don't know all the pings and pops of the equipment technology, but having that satellite, the ABC satellite up there, which broadcasts.
Now there,
yeah, where the affiliates pick stuff up
a little bit of
from
lag.
With the receivers, and there was lag. They had to make up for it. They had to do some fancy.
Well, there's built-in buffering. Yeah,
yeah, that kind of syncs the time and all that stuff. Yeah. That was could be a pain in the butt if you didn't get it right.
That's why the equipment costs so much.
That's right.
It was pretty darn sophisticated stuff.
You were basically
to get everything in sync.
You were time traveling to make that stuff work.
Yeah, you were.
So everything we say, or did say, we had to know what we were going to do in advance time so that they could then set it up on their end.
Yeah.
That's how, you guys think this radio thing's easy. Everything we do here is mapped out. Everything we say is choreographed.
Carefully scripted.
Yes. And you can tell, and sometimes people, you know, we're real good with our conversation. It sounds it's natural.
Yeah.
But see.
It's not at all.
Yeah, exactly. What Dave and I just did there, that was timed.
We practiced
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Because if you don't.
All week.
Because, you know, to tell you the truth, Dr. Dave and I aren't really sitting with each other. We're on the opposite side of the bunker, and we're only communicating through that satellite feed with a time delay.
Yeah, we're about 30 feet apart, but that signal actually travels about 50,000 miles up and down.
That's right. And so this is all really, really takes years to know how to do.
And huge gobs of money, incredible sophisticated technology.
It's true.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about security and all of the stuff you've got to stay on top of to manage that. A couple of the companies that I think I don't want to make it sound like they are the cause of our insecurities, but two of the companies that are exploited most. A lot of people think, oh, Microsoft sucks. The bad guys really target Microsoft because they're so bad, and that's true to a little bit of a degree. But the reality is it isn't so much Microsoft, it isn't so much Windows, as it is Java, which is an Oracle product, and Adobe products. Incredibly, I don't want to say they're vulnerable, but they are huge targets to be exploited. And as a result, there's a lot of pressure on Oracle and on Adobe to do patches and updates, to get stuff, as vulnerabilities are learned about, to get them locked down as soon as they can. This week, coming up, it's expected that Oracle's going to release 147 security patches for Java. That's a lot. And one of the things that we need to be aware of, and I encounter this a lot with folks, is they see updates and they think, ooh, I don't know if that's a real update, I better not do it, blah, blah. It can cause compatibility problems. I've had problems in the past where I've done an update and then everything's broken. And that's true. It can happen. And you don't want to do fake updates. You don't want to have an infection that pretends to be, you know, doing a Java update and have it not be a Java update. Have it be loading a keylogger or some other sort of exploit. But you really do need to do your patches. It is the second line of defense. First line of defense in terms of security and privacy is your behavior. Second is patching vulnerabilities in the software you use, and that includes the operating system and the ancillaries like Java and Adobe PDF Reader, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then you get into the next level, which is your actual security and privacy software. So really very, very important that you do your patches. And Oracle has got 147 coming down the pike next week. So don't be surprised when you get a pop-up that says, got an update ready, please go ahead and do it. Is it possible that it'll break something? Absolutely. Is it likely? No. We get thousands and thousands and thousands of patches that never break.
Well, is there a way that they can know that it's real and not? Because, you know, the bad guys know that Adobe's going to be doing this
very
too.
Very tough. Very tough.
How do you weed
fortunately,
out the real ones?
Well, fortunately, for the most part, they make mistakes. Now, you've got to have a little bit of an educated eye because they've gotten very good at it. I mean, one of the most insidious developments recently, and it's been a couple of 2-3 years now, was an infection that looked exactly like Microsoft Security Essentials. You could not tell the difference. The only reason you'd know that it wasn't real is perhaps you were one of the fortunate ones that didn't have Microsoft Security Essentials installed. And so when it provided a warning for you, if you're thinking, you go, wait a minute, it can't be a real warning because I don't have it installed. Other than that, I don't know how you would have told. I mean, it was just an incredible copy. Fortunately, most of the time, they're not that sophisticated. They make the most common problem that I see, besides it just looking kind of goofy sometimes, is making dumb grammatical or spelling errors. If you see a text as a part of a warning that just is a little weird, worded weirdly, it ain't real. Back after this.
2.2 trillion listeners galaxy-wide. Computer Talk with Dave Mason. Back after this.
When it comes right down to it, the most important thing in life is time. The better you manage your time, the better your life is. Hi, this is Dr. Dave. I want to talk to you about some incredible software that helps you better manage your time and get more out of life. I'm talking about Intellect from Chaos Software. I've researched time management software for over 20 years. I've never found a better, simpler, more practical tool for managing my time and my life than Intellect. In fact, it's what I use every day. It even helped me find the time to write this script. Intellect includes an easy-to-use email client with state-of-the-art spam filters, an integrated contact manager, an appointment manager, and to-do list, all wrapped up in the most efficient productivity package I've ever used. Best of all, Intellect is network-ready right out of the box. Download Intellect's free trial at chaossoftware.com. Whether you're a salesperson, retired grandmother, real estate mogul, or radio talk show host, you need Intellect from Chaos Software. Check it out at chaossoftware.com for a better life.
Hey guys, this is Evil Steve. Yeah, the evil one, back again, here to talk to you about Dr. Dave's data recovery. First of all, Dr. Dave and I would like to thank you for another great year of Dr. Dave's data recovery service. It's been outstanding. We all know how important it is to back up your data. But if you didn't back up your data, and those important documents, or even more important, precious family pictures, are stuck on a dead drive somewhere, well, there is a way to get them unstuck, and it's called Dr. Dave's data recovery. From hard drives to floppy disks, thumb drives, flashcards, you name it, we can do it. First step, go to DaveMason.com, click on the Dr. Dave's data recovery button, and you'll find all the info you need right there. Dr. Dave will get your drive and do his Dr. Dave magic as usual and get your precious data back to you safe and sound. So do the smart thing. Let Dr. Dave's data recovery come to your rescue. That's Dr. Dave's data recovery at DaveMason.com.
I've just discovered one of the most important new tools for security and privacy on the Internet today. Hey, Dr. Dave here. ID Vault looks like a military-grade USB memory stick, but it's much more. It stores all your usernames and passwords, and you don't have to worry about the remnants left on your PC after online banking. ID Vault prevents you from signing into phishing sites that steal your identity and your money. It automatically signs you into your online financial accounts with ID Vault SecureView. It automatically enters your credit card information when you shop online, so your credit card is safe from hackers and even keystroke loggers. Here's how it works. ID Vault encrypts your account passwords on a smart card microchip inside a tamper-proof USB device where the criminals can't get at them. Best of all, it's economical and easier and faster to use than usernames and passwords. Anyone who surfs the net needs their ID Vault. So get yours at IDVault.com today and save $10. That's IDVault.com. Tell them you heard it here on Computer Talk with Dave Mason.